Hello there, this is Dave Allen from EV20Q Podcast, and today we're talking to James from Scotland. There's lots of chat about the new Nissan Leaf because James just got himself one. And he's been doing a few YouTube videos showing how he uses it. And there's a lot more interesting stuff to come. And the next one he's going to do is about the Leaf Spy Pro. So without further ado, let's get into the podcast where we're talking to James from Scotland. Okay, so you're James, but you're actually a Scottishman of Chinese descent. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and we'll take it from there. How did you end up in Scotland?
I was actually born in Hong Kong, and my parents came over to the UK when I was three. So I was kind of brought up in Scotland since
Hence
then.
Hence the accent.
Yeah. So I found it a bit difficult to lose the accent, I think.
But you're actually living down in Newcastle now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm living in Newcastle, but I'm working in Edinburgh, so hence why the trips up and down the A1.
Well, that's excellent. You're getting plenty of chances to drive your new EV.
Yep.
Okay, then. So tell me, how long have you been an EV driver anyway?
Well, I started, my first EV was in 2013, and I only had it for about a year. This month. Works at the Nissan factory, so we managed to get one off one of our work schemes. So I had it for 1 year before they took it back off us. It was really good. I really enjoyed driving it, actually. But then going back into sort of like a petrol car was really weird, especially like going to back to a petrol station for the first time.
You must have been heartbroken having to give that car back.
Yeah. They wouldn't extend. They wouldn't extend it at the time. I think they wanted more of them on the road, so they took it back to sell to the general public. So,
well, that was the same. So basically, after that, then you was kind of saving your money up to buy yourself an extra vehicle.
Well, I was driving a petrol car for a while, and then I got a job in Edinburgh. So there was a bit of travelling, and I was thinking of getting the 30 kilowatt hour Leaf. But it was, I felt that I probably would have had to stop to charge, and I wanted something that could basically do it in one trip, or potentially do it in one trip.
How many miles would that be that you'd have to travel?
It's about 125 one way.
Okay, yeah.
But I mean, I don't only do it like at the weekend. It's not like I'm doing it every day, which would be a bit crazy.
Yeah, well, with the weather that you can get up the north there, I mean, you kind of want to have a car that you rely on and just do one jump if you can.
I mean, I don't mind stopping because it's, you know, just have a bit of a break. But if I can potentially not do that, that was the plan of getting the 40 kilowatt hour Leaf.
Yeah, so one of my questions is, what made you decide to go with the EV car in the first place? But really, I mean, it was a case that you dropped into that by luck to a certain extent, yeah?
Yeah.
But what made you decide with this car anyway? Would you go for the Leaf that you've got?
It started off with me needing a car for travelling up to Edinburgh. And, you know, back then, I was talking to my wife, and there was all about the Leaf being 60 kilowatt hour for the next model, and I was chatting to my wife, and she's saying, no, we've just bought in like lots of 40 kilowatt hour batteries, so they're not going to throw those out the door, you know what I mean? So so I kind of got the heads up on that it's going to be 40 kilowatts, so I was just basically doing the calculation based off the 30 kilowatt hour Leaf, and I was thinking, well, I'll just wait till, you know, the 10 months before they launch the 40 kilowatt. And that was the reason why I held out for it. And then all the press pictures came out, the Leaf images. And I thought, oh, actually, it doesn't look like a Leaf anymore. And it was kind of like the styling of it I really, really, really liked.
It does look rather nice, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I still like the old Leaf. I think the old Leaf is still a nice design. I mean, it's not to everyone's taste, obviously.
And it's what they call a Marmite type of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit like the colour that I chose for my current Leaf, the Spring Cloud.
I know. I was going to have one of the Spring Clouds, and I didn't really like it, so I changed it to go for the... I went for a red one in the end.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I saw the brochure and thought, oh, that looks really nice, and I put the order in and I thought, actually, I wonder what it looks like in the daylight. So I was actually a bit worried for about 3 months waiting for it.
And are you happy with the colour now that you've got it?
Oh, yeah. I was, over the moon when I saw the colour. It kind of, like I said, reminds me of the old Datsun Sunny green that they used to have.
Yeah, because it's not a green really either, is it? And it's not sort of a grey either. It's sort of somewhere in between, isn't it? It's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. It depends on the light as well. If it's quite bright, it's actually more grey. But if it's sort of like overcast, it's more a shade of green. So it's kind of a strange one.
Hmm. So when you had your first EV then, did you find then that you was after only using it around the town and you didn't do any long journeys with it?
Yeah, I basically used it to get to work. I contemplated about driving it to Manchester back then, but just with the charge points and the reliability of the charge points back then, I basically didn't do that trip. So we opted for using it for city driving, getting to work, and we had a diesel for long distance.
Charging points now, do you think they're a whole lot better?
They definitely are a lot better. There's still some issues. Like one of the charge points I went to, well, actually two of the charge points were broken. But I think with the new Leaf, the main advantage is it's got the Type 2 charge point. So basically the CHAdeMO was broken. I actually just used the Type 2 to charge up, whereas the first gen Leaf.
Yeah, the trouble with the Type 2, I mean, it only goes fast as the thing inside the car, isn't it? So you're going to be stuck at sort of 7 maximum anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, that's true. But it's good to sort of like be able to have that to charge up to a certain point so you can get to the next CHAdeMO.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And charging points near where you are? I mean, do you have plenty of charging points around Newcastle or around by Edinburgh where you use it most?
Well, in Newcastle there's loads because obviously it's next to Sunderland where the Nissan plant is.
Right, yeah, that's true, yeah.
Yeah, so there's we still get a lot of what they call the charge your car charging points, which are still free. So it seems like the northeast of England is the sort of like area of like free charge points. Obviously there's paid ones as well, and then up in Scotland there's actually tons of charge points, and in Scotland it's actually they've still got grants that cover it, so it's still all free up here.
They've got something in Scotland at the moment where you can get the money to buy the car sort of without interest.
Yeah, that's well, apparently that's going to close this month, but hopefully they'll and keep it going. It's you've got to be living in Scotland with an address, obviously, and I think it was like £35,000 interest free for up to 6 years.
Gosh, that's so good going, isn't it?
Really, yeah, it's a very good incentive. So you can get half a Tesla for interest-free.
Excellent, excellent. So when you charge, when you're up in Scotland, do you have a home charger there, and do you have a home charger back in Newcastle as well?
In Newcastle, I've got a home charger, so that's handy. I upgraded back in 2013 to the 7 kilowatt charge point, untethered, which I thought would be a good future-proof, but there's probably about 200 yards down the road from me, there's a CHAdeMO free charge point.
So well, that's handy, isn't it?
Yeah, so I kind of go there, charge it up for 30 minutes, and then top up the last sort of like 20-odd percent at home.
So. Yeah. What about these people who say that you shouldn't really sort of be using the fast chargers too often? I mean, they reckon that every now and again is a good idea because it does something with the batteries that makes them better. But if you do it too often, it can be a bad thing as well. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not really that sort of like... I've never... On the 24-kilowatt-hour Leaf, I did quite a lot of fast charging on that, and I've never really had an issue with it. And I've not really had an issue with the 40-kilowatt-hour Leaf as well.
Oh, well, you haven't had it for long yet anyway, have you?
No, that's it. Especially, well, the 24-hour kilowatt, I had it for a year, and it was fine.
I'd imagine that your Leith that you're running now has still got that new car smell to it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It still smells great. I've not actually had the new car for a long while. So, actually, one other thing is I think because it's electric car, the new car smell seems to linger a bit longer than when you buy like a petrol or diesel car.
Well, that's a shame, because when I get my new Nissan, my wife's not going to be very pleased with that because she doesn't like the new car smell. I'm not going to tell her. I don't think she listens to these podcasts either, so she won't know. Yeah, actually, I was just remembering that I went to visit my brother who actually lives in Newcastle, and he's got a charger in his garage, and he doesn't have an electric car.
Yeah, because I think there's a grant. I mean, I think it's still going now, but you can get like a grant to pay for to get an EV charge point put in. I actually put one in at my parents' place back in 2013, thinking that I might actually charge my 24 kilowatt hour Leaf up in Glasgow, but I never actually made it that far.
So you say you changed the charge that you have at home now, yeah, recently, but it would have been a Type 1 then, wouldn't it? Did you change your Type 2 at that stage?
My house, I had it as untethered, and so basically it was a Type 2 port. So it's 7 kilowatt hour charger. Back then it was £175 extra, I think it was, to get it upgraded. But my parents have got like a Type 1 charge tethered at their place.
I think you can actually get converters, can't you, to go from Type 1 to Type 2?
Yeah, I've actually bought a converter because it was cheaper than switching the port. Because when they upgraded, well, when my parents installed theirs, they actually went for the 7 kilowatt tethered Type 1. Mm-hmm. So for getting upgraded, it costs about £340. Whereas if you buy an adapter, it's about £130. And I will still get the 7 kilowatt out of it.
Well, as long as it still works, I mean, it's better to do the cheapest way, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, then. So what was it like the first time you did a long journey in your car, then?
It was actually the very first day that I got the Leaf. I did 240 miles, roughly.
Gosh, that's a good trip.
Yeah, from Newcastle, charged at Dunbar, over to Glasgow, and then back to Edinburgh, because I was dropping my mum off with the kids, because she was looking after them for us. Yeah, legged up the road.
And what do the kids think about the electric car? Are they impressed?
Yeah, they were, but they kind of figured out the journey was slightly longer because we stopped to top up. But apart from that, it was fine. They loved the fact that the car had heated seats at the back.
Very good. You kind of need those in Scotland, don't you?
Yeah.
When you're doing these long journeys there, I mean, what's your sort of general sort of way of finding out where the chargers are? Do you use the maps that are come within the car there, or do you use an app?
The first trip with the car, I had some trouble finding charge points because I kind of winged it and didn't even really plan it out, which probably wasn't ideal. So whenever I'd use a car to find out where the nearest charge point was, it kept on making me, or wanted me to double back on the motorway to somewhere that I passed. But it was only later on that I found out that you can actually set it to the nearest charge point towards your destination rather than the nearest charge point. So there's different options there.
So that's within the actual the Nissan sort of maps then?
Yeah, that's within the Nissan maps.
Are they good maps? Are they good to use those ones, are they?
They're okay. They're just pretty much like what you'd expect from Nissan, apart from it's got like the charge points on them.
It's all in Japanese then, is it?
Yeah, might as well be, actually. But the nice thing is you can actually plug in your phone and get Waze on. So that's quite
Yeah, Waze is very good, isn't it? It's very much not so much a maps application as a driver's application, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nice, actually. So
it'll be even better when they actually start putting some of the electric charging stations on there, won't it?
Yeah, that's the only reason why I don't use that, because it's not got the electric charge points on it. But you can use Google Maps as well. That's quite handy.
And can you find the electric charge points on Google Maps?
No, I don't think you can. So I tend to just use like ZapMap and basically get the postcode and then punch it in as waypoints. So
okay, yeah. And when you're sort of going to these places to look for these charge points, I mean, do you find sometimes that you have to sort of go around the car park twice to find out where exactly this charger is?
Actually, there was when I went to Glasgow for that first trip, one of them, I mean, I probably should have read to see that it wasn't 24 hours, but it was like behind the gate inside an industrial estate. So that things like that doesn't really help. But I think most of them are pretty easy to find now in Scotland, because the most of them are just off the motorway. So right. It's not too bad. And then there's ones that are actually next to like a petrol station.
I've seen a thing called What Three Words? And basically what it is, it's a mapping system where it divides the whole of the earth into 3 meter squares and gives each of these squares a set of three words. And with those three words, you can get to wherever you got to get to, you know, really easy. I mean, because, you know, if it's at one end of the car park, it'll have a different set of three words than it has at the other end of the car park. It's really good.
Yeah, I saw that on YouTube. So I didn't really look into it that much, but might be quite interesting to.
I think it'd be something that should be built into some of these charging applications, or you know, where they help you find the chargers. Because yeah, you could put in the exact spot to find where this charging point is in a really big car park, you know, and go straight to it.
Yeah, because I punched in a postcode for just a Type 2 charge point, because I was sort of like scouting around Edinburgh for Type 2 points to charge, and I went to the location and there was absolutely nothing there, and it was a dead end, and it was basically on the other side on a different road. So it's like things like that isn't very helpful.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that was actually inside a car park that was locked as well. So that's
Dear. What about the Nissan chargers? Do you have you had much experience of using the ones at the Nissan dealerships?
I did use them a few times with the 24 kilowatt-hour Leaf in 2013. They're not too bad. So I don't know what it's like now, but back then you had to go in and ask for a passcode, or sometimes you don't give a passcode when the guys come out in the rain with you to punch in the passcode secretly, so you know you can't use it.
Okay, right.
But I'm sure it's all changed by now. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've noticed that with the car that I'm buying, I was asked them specifically, you know, if I wanted to travel, I mean, would I be able to sort of call in into, say, the Nissan dealership in Perpignan, if I'm on the way going through France, you know?
Yeah, you should be able to use it, but you just have to watch out for the times that they close at and if it's behind the barrier. Because most of the times they have like a barrier that closes.
Yeah, well, the garage where, or the dealership where I'm buying my car, the last time in there it was okay, but the time previous, this charging point is just on the space going in towards where the garage is, where they do the fixing of the vehicles and everything.
Right.
And I think the mechanics there tend to, you know, park cars in front of it and, you know, block it off sometimes, a lot of times.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also tend to have the demonstrators parked there charging up as well sometimes.
Okay.
So. Yeah, so you have to go in and ask them to move.
I suppose if you go in there and say, yeah, I mean, look, I've got to get somewhere, could I plug in for a wee while there? I'd imagine that they'd move if it was one of their cars.
Yeah, no, they're actually really good that way. The other bonus about it is you can go in and drink the free coffee and look at the other vehicles that are around.
Well, I hope they have tea as well, because I don't like coffee.
Okay, then. They have free water as well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway, tell me, what's the best thing about your car?
The best thing is the ProPilot. It's just such an amazing feature, something that assists you on driving.
Do you find it makes much more relaxing for the driving?
It does, because like with cars that don't have the feature, you would, especially just in, like standard cruise control, you would have to use the plus and minus button to like slow or speed up the car to catch up with the vehicle ahead. And if they slow down, you got to use your thumb to hit the minus button. And, you know, there's a lot, you actually still have to really think about what you're doing.
Yeah, I do that a lot in my Renault Clio that I have at the moment.
Yeah, and also then when it drops below a certain speed, and if it's a manual, you got to drop to fourth gear, or you know, it's you just don't have to think about it. There's you know, with the ProPilot, there's a few times. Well, actually, most of the times, I don't even notice that the traffic's slowing down.
So when you're using the ProPilot there, I mean, do you find sometimes that you're going into a roundabout, you're expecting it to slow down, but then realise there's no car in front of you?
Yeah, you have to think carefully about roundabouts. I've kind of figured it out that when you see a sign for a roundabout, starts reducing the speed of the car, so take it down to about 40. And then when you look at the roundabout, if there's no cars ahead and there's no traffic, then you can actually swing around the roundabouts at 40 miles an hour. Obviously, if there is a car, then you can just apply the brakes and then just knock off the ProPilot.
Well, I should imagine if there's a car in front, it'll slow down anyway, won't it?
Yeah. I mean, if there's a car in front. But, I mean, it's always nice to reduce the speed down, especially if there's no car up in front of you.
So how good is it actually in staying in the line?
Well, I think if I was in, well, actually in the proper motorways, it's good. But on the A1, the A1's a bit, it's not like the best road in the UK. It's basically a single lane. So,
but does it keep it working often enough that it's worth using, or would you just not bother?
No, I think it's definitely worth using. I was using it this weekend and it was foggy. And it was actually still able to register the lines, even with like a fairly heavy fog.
Because it's down to the camera, really, isn't it? I mean, if the camera can't see it, then it's not going to do it. But at least if the lane keeping is not working, at least you've still got the intelligent cruise control.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it can the vehicle ahead, which is good.
Do you sometimes sort of manually sort of take it off the? The driving with the lane, or the extra the automatic driving, and take it just back into. I think there's a button you can press, isn't there, where you'll take it back into normal intelligent cruise control.
Yeah, I mean you can. There's a button on the next to where the where you hit the charging port to open, and that takes off the steering. So the steering assist, so you can actually just use it as a cruise control.
Talking about buttons, isn't there a lot of buttons on this Nissan?
Oh yeah, it's great. It's just like it's like flying a space shuttle. But
some people love it and some people hate it, I imagine, you know.
I think the main problem with me when I'm driving it is I don't realize if I'm on D mode or B mode or eco or E pedal. In the videos that I've done, people have been saying to me, oh, why did you go in that mode? And I'm like, I was just on that mode. At the time, it wasn't like intentional.
You don't find there's a big difference then when you know, you don't notice it when you're driving, the difference between say D and B mode.
I've not really played it. I mean, I kind of went off from what I learned from the 24 kilowatt hour Leaf, but I think the reason why I forget is because the car's so quiet. It's not like I'm in second gear and the car's revving away.
Okay, yeah.
And then that's your cue to change gear. Whereas I could be on the motorway on B mode, where I should be on D mode, if that makes sense. Unless you look at it.
I mean, because there's some things inside the dashboard screen, isn't there, that show you these things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I can imagine it's quite easy to forget to look at them. What about the e-pedal? Are you loving that too?
Yeah, the e-pedal's amazing, actually. It's a bit of a shame. I don't get to play around with it that often. But whenever I'm just slightly doing city driving, I've been switching that on.
Now, I've noticed in one of your videos there that you've been talking about doing a long winter eco driving there. I mean, are we all going to have to get used to freezing our what's it off just so we can get extra miles?
No, I wouldn't ever do that again. The reason I did that was on the 24 kilowatt hour Leaf, you know, I would say you got a range of 89 miles in winter, and I put the heating on and I do about 50, 60 miles, and it'll say, oh, your battery's drained. Yeah. And it's kind of ingrained into me that, you know, turning heating on is bad. But with the new Leaf, it's like you're only losing like on average 3 miles of range. So there's absolutely no point in turning aircon or the heating off.
Okay, so this is with the main heating. What about the heating coming out of the seats? Do you get good heat out of those?
Yeah, actually, it's very toasty. They come on, and then after a while, they kind of feel like they've turned off, and then they come back on again, and you can actually feel the heat. The other reason I wanted an EV or an automatic was I had a back injury about 2 years ago, so having heated seats is like very, very handy.
So it kind of eases your back pain, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And what's been your worst experience when driving an EV?
Worst experience? I've not really had any real sort of bad experience driving an EV. Nah.
Well, that's good to know.
Well, actually, I suppose like a couple of times, sort of like, you know, range anxiety does sort of like kick in.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's very pleasant.
Okay, good. And are there any things that you'd like to see changed, particularly to give you a better driving experience with driving electric vehicles?
I think we need better charging sort of like locations, somewhere sort of like a more, you know, actual places, rather than just having one charge point, having like maybe four and like certain designated areas that's not inside a shopping centre or, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Do you find it's very useful to be able to go to a place where there's something to do to keep you occupied for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes or however long you need to charge?
Yeah. It's nice, but I'm not really one for shopping. So charging and then, you know, jumping on my phone, catching up on Facebook or, you know, other like forums or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And when you're doing that, do you stay in the driver's seat or do you hop over onto the passenger or into the back seat just to, you know, give you a bit of a change of view or something?
No, I'd kind of still stay in the driver's seat. It's or else I go out and have a quick stretch. But the actual seats are really comfortable in the new Leaf. It's I think it almost feels like if it's some sort of memory foam seat. So
it moulds to your rear end. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, if most people, you know, they'll say, oh, it takes like 40 minutes to charge a car up to 80%. I actually sat in the car for an hour and the timer stopped and I was still on my phone.
Right.
So
it's
like, you know, at this day and age, people with mobile phones, they've got plenty of things to do in 40 minutes.
That's true. I mean, I'll have an iPad with me anyway, so there's always something to keep me amused.
Yeah, yeah. And there's always, like, YouTube.
Yeah. So what about cost of running? How are you finding that with this new Nissan Leaf?
Well, I was under the impression that all the free charge ports were finished in the UK when I got the Leaf. Obviously, I didn't really look into it. I just assumed from what I've been told by friends further south that they have to pay for all the charge points. But I was pleasantly surprised because I need to travel up to Scotland. The charge points were free. And because I'm in a flat in Edinburgh during the weekdays, there's no charge point here. So I actually have to make a point of going out to charge. So currently, externally charging, I've probably paid £0 and zero pence for
that's phenomenal, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good actually. But I think for the home charge, when I go home and I plug it into the house, I'd probably plugged in maybe about less than £10 worth of electricity, I guess.
Yeah, and by the look of it, you've done quite a few miles in your car already.
Yeah, there's probably about 700-800 miles, so
that's brilliant, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I probably should have. I probably should have opted for the 15,000 mile PCP deal.
Okay, so you're limited with the number of miles that you can go, then, are you?
In theory, but it works out in 8 pence a mile. In the UK, so it's like 1,000 miles is £80. So I think going over that, paying £80 for every 1,000 miles isn't really a stretch. You pay less than a tank of petrol.
Yeah, and I suppose not too bad. I mean, it's only if you're going over a certain amount then, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what's your plan over the next few years with your electric vehicles? Do you going to see yourself sticking with this Leaf for some time, or do you have desire to get something else? Or
there's two options. I'll be either sticking with this Leaf and then passing it on to my wife while I get the 60 kilowatt Nissan Leaf Nismo, if it ever comes out.
Okay.
Or else I will hold on to the car after the PCP deal, because it does what we need it to do, and I don't really feel like, obviously having the longer range is handy, but I don't feel like an issue for long distance driving.
Okay, super. So any of your decision-making for getting electric cars based upon green planet issues? I mean, are you thinking about getting solar panels on your roof, or have you managed to be able to change your electricity over to a supplier that does green electricity?
Yeah, I've been looking at solar panels and batteries. I wanted solar panels about 4 years ago. That's before they had the battery options, which was part of... IKEA's deal. They're doing a battery version now as well, similar to what Tesla's doing. It's definitely something that I'll be doing this year, putting the solar panel on, just for the fact that I can use that power to charge my car without actually going out or go out of my way to pay an electricity company.
Yeah, I'd love to get some solar panels on my roof here. I mean, we have plenty of sun here in Spain, but we have a solar tax. They actually tax the sun here in Spain. Can you believe it?
That's crazy. It's like, how can you tax solar? That doesn't make sense.
It's ridiculous. They're making it so that it's not really worth doing it. I mean, there is a slight bit of a way around it by using a company. What you can do is you invest a certain amount of money into this sort of cooperative, which allows you to have electricity, which is off your panels. I think you do it up to 70% of the amount that you bring in. And you also have to put some sort of thing onto your system as well, which makes sure that any of the electricity that you generate doesn't go back into the grid.
Yeah, it's a little bit different here, because we've got, I can't remember what the tariff's called, but it's the way it works is, depending on how much solar you generate, in the UK, you get half of it back in like a lower rate of energy, because you're feeding that back to the grid essentially. But if you use it all up, you still get paid for it as well. So okay. You know, there is sort of like
some sort of feed-in tariff
incentives to. Yeah, that's the word, feed-in tariff.
Yeah, well, they don't do that here at all. So, basically, they're trying to stop people putting solar panels on.
That's totally, it just doesn't make sense. It's,
all of the opposition parties have said they're going to get rid of it, but the ones that are in power, they're a bunch of right-wingers, they are, yeah. And they just don't have any sense at all. I think, well, my wife reckons that these politicians must all have their hands in the pockets of the people that run the electricity companies.
Yeah, that's most likely the case, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say it's not that case, but I'm sure it probably is. So, so now that you've got your electric vehicle, I mean, I imagine that you tell people about it. I mean, are you finding that you've become a champion for EVs, and are you getting friends and families that want to follow your
people
lead?
People do ask me about it, and I tell them. And then, obviously, you got people that really like the idea, and then you got people that are still in the camp of fossil fuel. But I tend to, you know, like, I think I just give my view of of my experience, and it's up to them if they think it's right for them or not. So I'm not really going to argue with them if they think burning fossil fuel is better than having an electric car.
Well, that kind of makes sense. I mean, there's no point in arguing with people. I mean, you only just annoy people then, don't you?
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, I'm not going to like ram it down people's throat, basically.
Yeah, and have you had any sort of people sort of sitting in your passenger seat, and they've experienced the EV smile? Have you sort of put your foot down and they've gone, "Wow, that's fast, isn't it?"
I drove my mum for the first time. She loved it. She loved the fact that it was so silent. And but the thing that that scared her was all the gadgets. Like when I had like the Pro Pilot on and things, she was like thinking, "Is that really safe?" But the kids totally love it. Yeah, just the speed of the car, how fast it is.
Yeah, I mean, when I took it out for a wee test drive, the sales guy, he drove it for the first 5 minutes, and I think it, you know, he wanted to get out and have a try, you know. And one of the first things that he did was to put his foot down and. Yeah, it really sort of throws you back in the seat. It was kind of nice. It was lovely. It was that EV smile, definitely.
Yeah, it's. I think most people still think of milk floats when they hear about EVs, because that was my initial thought when my wife said, "Oh, we can get a Leaf," like back in 2013, and I was thinking, "How fast is that?" She's going, "Oh, it's." I think she's quoting like 7.5 seconds back then. I don't know where that came from, but. Obviously, when you do sit in it, and that initial 0 to 30 is like so quick off the mark, it's it's fun. No, I was just going to say, like the other thing people ask me is, oh, what's the range? How long does it take to charge? And I'm always thinking, you're asking the wrong question. You should be asking, what's the 0 to 60 on that thing?
Yeah, actually, the funny thing is, it reminds me of my brother again, because he used to be a milkman down in London. I went out with him one morning on his milk float.
Was that fast?
No, that was not fast at all. But then when you get a whole lot of milk bottles rattling about, you don't really want to go too fast and stuff,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I'd never thought about that.
Anyway, is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about your videos that you've been making?
Well, I've got some ideas for what to do with the e-pedal, so I'm sort of like, I've still got a few more things that I want to talk about. I'm not sure how long it'll last for before I run out of juice, I suppose. But
and talking about juice, why is it you're called Lemon Tea Leaf on YouTube?
Well, I did photography back in the day before sort of like digital, and I was just coming up with names, and it was Lemon Tea Design Studio back then, as a company name, and then it became Lemon Tea Design for when I was doing multimedia work in London, and then it's just kind of stuck ever since. So I just called my channel Lemon Tea for a while on YouTube,
yeah,
and then when I got a Leaf, I just stuck the Leaf at the end of it.
I don't know, it's interesting that anyway. So you've made 4 videos so far. What's your next one going to be about?
Well, the next one, I've got Leaf Spy. So I'm actually going to do a more in-depth on the battery to of my conclusions about the state of charge is what I thought it was. The car's basically holding back on some kilowatts from us. So... yeah, hopefully I'll have that out for this weekend.
I imagine I should probably get that Leaf Spy thing myself. Yeah. I've noticed that on the iPhone, you have to pay for it, and I think it's about €21 to buy to buy it. Whereas you can buy a light version on Android you can get it for nothing, can't you? For a light version.
Yeah, yeah. I just went for the Pro one. It was £12. So
okay.
I just went for the full hog. I thought I might as well get all the information I can.
Now, I've seen a few sort of screen grabs of this Leaf Spy thing, and it all looks like gobbledygook.
Yeah. When you watch my video this coming Sunday, you'd see that I really don't know what I'm talking about. I kind of just make things up as I go along. So, you know, I kind of just look at the screen and think, right, this is what my interpretation of what the app is telling me about my car. So, you know.
Okay, I'll just make a note of that. Hang on. Blind leading the blind. Okay, yeah, right, got that.
If I run out of batteries explaining something completely wrong, you know not to do what I've just done.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get it anyway and learn how to use it. So, I mean, it can't be all sort of, there must be sort of some manuals there show you how to do it all anyway. So,
yeah, it's quite self explanatory, most of it.
Talking about manuals, I've noticed on the YouTube as well, there's a whole lot of. little videos, sort of about, well, between sort of 3 and 6 or 7 minutes long, from Nissan USA, showing you how to do a whole lot of different things with your car. Yeah. I mean, some are very simple with, you know, how to turn the lights on and stuff like that on the interior. But I mean, there's some there, like for instance with the air conditioning or for the heating, where it tells you, you know, you press your button for a couple of seconds to have this to happen, or you press it twice to have this to happen, and you really want to watch those videos to learn all about it.
Yeah, I probably should actually watch those, because well, like I said, it was like all these buttons, and I really don't know what half of them do.
Oh, well, you'll find out in time, eh?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's been actually marvellous having a chat with you. And if there's anything that you'd like to just get off your chest before we finish, do it now.
Okay, so because my wife works at Nissan, EZ10 is the model name. On the VIN, it's EZ1U, but it's EZ10 is the actual model name. And the number at the end, mine's is 5576, which means mine's was 5576 off the line. So you can look at your VIN number and find out from the last sort of like 4 or 5 digits which one's yours is.
That's interesting.
And that's for the whole. That's for the whole of Europe.
Okay. Well, I actually was in touch with the garage though, because I have this sort of, it could be a problem. I'm hoping that it's not going to be a problem. But for the incentive money, which is €5,500, it's 120 days from when you put the order in, and then that incentive, it goes away. It's coming up, because I think, I don't know, I get the feeling that Nissan are a bit slow getting some of these cars out, especially down to Spain. I mean, there's one or two going into Norway. I think there's some going into Netherlands and Belgium, but nothing at all in Spain yet. And I need to get this car soon.
No, that's not good, actually. I didn't realise that.
The guy thinks he can do it.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to say apart from cancel the order and say, I'll just rebuy the car.
Yeah. Well, the only thing is that I think the incentive is based upon the numbers from last year. So it was done before the end of December. And I don't know if they've announced what the incentives are for this year, or if given us any numbers or any idea if there's any incentive at all for this year. So we're just, at this stage, it could be that I'll have a car in April or I won't have a car at all.
Oh, that's not good.
It's not good at all. But talking to the guy in the sales today, he seems to think he can do it.
Okay,
so
they'd probably be able to wangle something. You know, they want the sales. They need to hit the figures, the sales figures.
Well, they're talking about selling, one car every 12 minutes in Europe?
Yeah, I think at this point they've built about just over 10,500 vehicles. Okay.
Because there are other numbers there saying the total that they've sold is around about 19,000.
Yeah, they've only, actually 10,725 they've made so far, give or take.
This is invaluable information, this is. Well done.
Inside information. I don't know if I should be telling you this.
Well, if you want me to chop that out of the audio, I can do.
No, I'll be fine.
I don't want to get anyone into trouble.
I don't think anyone will get in trouble.
Anyway, that's interesting to know, but I'm really pleased that we had a chat, because it's been very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you for chatting to me as well.
Well, we thought we'd finished our chat, but we continued a little bit longer, so here's a little bit extra. That's where he was just talking about stuff after the interview. Well, as I say, I mean, there's plenty of podcasts out there where people are talking about the news, and most of them sort of, you know, what Tesla are doing, and other sort of the car manufacturers that have got these concept cars out and stuff like that. But I'd rather talk about, you know, people's, you know, direct experiences of using things and down to the nitty-gritty of it.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing why I decided to do the videos, is the fact that there's people talking about the actual, you know, the real sort of like detailed information, and then you get people talking about, quite generally talking about the vehicle, saying, yeah, that we can, it can do 150 mile range, and I'm thinking, really, can it really do that? And what sort of conditions are you seeing these figures, apart from reading it off the internet?
Yeah, what's the best number of miles you've been able to achieve yourself?
So far, because it's been quite cold, my best one probably about 135.
Okay.
And that's going pretty equal.
Yeah, it's quite a big difference, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's not. I've not reached the 150 mark.
Yeah. Well, it must be good anyway to the amount that you can get out of it, because I mean they're selling an awful lot of these in Norway, and it's even colder there, isn't it? So.
Yeah, yeah, and those guys know how to drive as well.
I reckon I should do okay here in Catalonia.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
And as I said, okay. Thank you very much. It's been great talking to you.
Right, thanks a lot.
All right then, bye-bye now, James. And just one more thing. If you could go into iTunes and give it a rating and maybe sort of leave a bit of feedback, it helps get the podcast found. And don't forget, you can also share this with a couple of your friends. Thanks very much. Bye-bye now.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.